Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
The detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to Season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
From the Ray Horseman Studios in North Hollywood, California, welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, should old acquaintance be forgotten, never brought to mind? When Robert Burns wrote that 230 years ago, he never seemed to consider that perhaps it is better to forget old acquaintance and never bring them to mind. It's called A World Without Facebook. Welcome to our New Year's Eve show. I'm Adam Felber, and I feel like the old year on its way out. Bent over, carrying my scythe, and wearing a long white robe and a snowy beard. And now, here's the eternal spirit of the new year, except she's not wearing a diaper, as far as I know, Paula Poundstone!
Not a bulky one.
Yes, thank you, and thank you to our house band, Jorge Reyes. Paula, happy new year.
To you too, Adam.
Yeah, it's kind of great for us to be here on New Year's Eve.
You know, one of the things that happened on this last 2018 is that we started the podcast.
We did. Well, you know what? It is our year-ending episode, and so maybe we should look back at 2018 and see what we remember about it.
I know that one night when I was getting out of my car here at Ray Horseman Studios, I stepped in dog waste. That
you
was
did?
Memorable.
You know, Anita Hall did the same thing.
I did it the week after.
The week after?
It was dog waste. I hope it was dog waste. That would be the high end of my expectations.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? When 2018 started, I had never
you
been
dreamed
to
dreamed of stepping
I had
dog
never
waste.
Been to Ray Horseman Studios here on Miranda Street. I didn't know the whole Miranda Street vibe where one would wonder if the waste that one stepped in was dog waste.
Yeah. All beautiful new vistas have opened up to us.
Yeah, that happened this year. You know, I think I've told you this. The first time I visited this place, I was on my bicycle. It was in the afternoon. And all of a sudden, a bottle came flying at me.
Oh, no.
I never told you that?
And then I owe you an apology.
No, it wasn't you. The thing was, is the bottle hit the ground, and it hit the ground, to my relief, with the sound of a plastic bottle hitting the ground. It was clearly a bottle of, like, Gatorade. It didn't smash into a million pieces. And then I stopped my bike, not because I was going to confront the thrower, but because I had arrived at Ray Horseman Studios. And the person who had thrown it was kind of an old and somewhat inebriated guy who, like, skulked off down an alley.
Oh, wow.
That was my first encounter with
Ray Horseman. 2018, ladies and gentlemen.
You stepping in possibly human waste and me getting a bottle thrown at me by a then-frightened drunk, that sums up 2018.
Yeah. I don't want to bum anybody out on New Year's, because it's supposed to be a happy time, but Boy, it's been a shit year,
hasn't it?
It's
an awful year.
It really has.
Yeah.
It's been both horrible.
Personally and for the world, I think.
Yeah, in every way. I'm trying to think of positive things. I didn't get any more cats.
Right.
That was good. You know, I stopped at, you know, at 14.
Nobody gave me a job with more money than I could handle.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
That's a relief. I think I will think of this year as the year that I lost to watching the news. I've been obsessed by every morning I get up and I quickly check the CNN website to see if Trump has been impeached,
right,
actually, or if he's been jailed yet, or
right,
if they're having the Trump family reunion behind bars where they belong.
Yes.
I do feel like it sort of manifests itself into an addiction. My favorite news broadcast remains the News Hour on PBS, in part because it's an hour.
Right.
But I do tend to watch MSNBC a lot.
Right.
And actually an uplifting thing did happen this year on MSNBC.
Which is
Chris Matthews let someone talk once.
He did not.
He did.
I didn't tape that one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so exciting. This is Chris Matthews' version of an interview. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's how he interviews.
It's
That's
true.
His version of, he'll say something and then he asks somebody to validate it and they sort of nod their head and he goes on.
Do you see me gaping right now?
You are gaping.
Yeah. Because I just can't imagine you criticizing somebody's interviewing skills. It's creating so much cognitive dissonance.
No, here's the thing though. Chris Matthews never lets anyone talk. I mean, I let people talk.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, he also has his show. Yeah,
Tried to talk there.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm done. No. What? He has his show there.
You'd be a great guest on Chris Matthews.
I feel like I've been training for it all year.
Yeah, because you're not used to talking much.
I'm not.
Another good thing that happened this year is that robotics experts were able to give Mike Pence more movements. And he's almost lifelike.
He went from being a wax figure to, I'm not saying he's Hall of Presidents material yet, but he's country bear jamboree material at this point.
Yeah, he's this close.
Yeah, he's
absolutely
animatronic to some extent.
The other day, I saw him turn his head slightly from the right to the left, and I'm like, "Whoa, boy! Somebody's been working on that."
Well, I think they're working overtime these days because they got to get him ready.
Yeah,
he's got to be able to put his hand on a Bible, is what I'm saying.
You know what's happening?
Yeah,
no, his gears are rusting from the borscht that is coursing through the inside of his robotic.
The borscht. Oh, because you think he's mixed up in all the Russia stuff?
Yeah. You know, they all are. They all are. Yeah. Anybody who isn't because it's so clear. I mean, we're so far into all this, and yet still no one is going, you know what? We need to stop this. This is bad. What's happened is bad.
I feel like there are people working towards that goal.
Okay. If someone breaks into your house.
Right.
And they're robbing you and, pillaging.
Pillaging.
And you call the cops.
I like that you went with pillage and not rape. That was nice of you.
And you call the cops.
Yeah.
Do you want the cops to work towards the goal of stopping the crime?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. You want them just to walk in and stop the crime.
We need to stop the crime.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that happened in 2018 is that I've passed 4 million miles on American Airlines, not all in this one year. That's absurd.
No, that would be impossible.
That would be very bad flight planning.
Yes.
And so
four million.
I'm 4 million.
And you choose American Airlines.
No, I don't always fly on the same airline.
Okay.
That's the thing. I fly on the one that's going to get me there about the time I need to get there the money.
Just
I can,
on American Airlines alone,
American
you've gone
Airlines
over
alone.
4 million miles.
I don't have as many on Delta, but on Delta, I'm in what do they call? They have these names for the
kind of member you are. Yeah.
Right. I'm in Silver. Right. You figure Silver. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's going to be good. Silver's valuable.
But after 4 million miles, why wouldn't you be Platinum?
No, I'm saying on Delta.
On Delta.
On Delta, I don't know how many I have, but I'm in the silver category. But, so I go to the gate and I always think, because I'm always exhausted, and I think, thank goodness. My big fear is that I'll fall asleep at the gate and not wake up in time to get onto the airplane. And so I'm like, thank goodness I'm silver, because that means, they'll call my group pretty early on, right? Silver, that's got to be good.
Sure.
So it's because I'm silver, I'm in zone one. Like, fantastic, zone one.
Means you get on before anybody else.
I'm getting on before anybody else.
Which is
that's
good for you, because you have a lot of carry-on luggage.
But here's
probably
what happens.
Probably more than you should be allowed to.
No, I don't have too much carry-on luggage. I have exactly the right amount that you can have. But here's the thing. It turns out, before you'd think Zone 1, just like you said, going to be the first one on.
Yeah.
There's about 10 categories of people that they seat before Zone 1. Zone 1 is a total trick. They're like, anybody with a red hat. You know, people with children. Yeah. People considering having children. People, lonely people. The lonely people go on.
It's mainly people with infants and active military service.
And what is active military? A lot of times you'll see guys doing jumping jacks over on the side.
You really ask me what active military is?
They're just show. If they were active military, they would be hiding behind the chairs and shooting people.
No, it doesn't mean that they're currently in a combat situation. Yes. It means that they're not retired.
Yeah.
They're actively on military. They're actively
doesn't matter. They all go on before me. Active military, inactive military.
Inactive military doesn't go on before you.
Yeah. People who've had family members in the military. People who've considered going into the military.
I want to ask you something.
People have done the Canadian Air Force exercises.
I feel like we've explored that moment.
Yeah. So everybody goes on before Zone 1 on Delta.
Not Zone 2, because that's where I am.
No, they don't. They don't even have Zone 2. It turns out it's a total trick.
No, it isn't.
There is no Zone 2.
You know what it is? I really don't do a lot of frequent flyer programs, but I have been doing the United one because I fly to Chicago for
Wait, don't tell me. That's what I say.
But like the thing is that like now for several years I've been doing the United thing. I still get stuck in Zone 4.
Yeah, you got to realize. I mean, you have to be the people who go. The people who are ahead of me.
Yeah.
They're people who are like flying to China. For a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah. Now, you with your 4 million miles, you must be members of all those little clubs, right? You can go to those lounges.
No, you still have to pay money for those clubs. And I don't want to go in those lounges anyways because they won't let you take in your wheelie luggage. And you have to you have to park it over in a they have a place where you tie it up to a rail like a horse and they won't
really?
Let you, yeah, they don't let you take. No, you can take the wheelie leg. They won't let you take in a cart. That's what it was.
A cart.
Okay, all right. So that doesn't matter to me. But they won't let you bring. They won't let you bring in outside food.
To those places,
right?
Those
and lounges? I like my outside food. I don't want the whatever they.
What outside food are you bringing into airports with you?
I'd like to bring a little, you know, some shish kebab.
You don't cook. You basically don't cook, and you don't bring shish kebab to the airport.
That is
like one food I'm sure is not allowed at the airport.
Yeah, you know what they do is they'll take it off the skewer
there at TSA. Ma'am, we're going to have to confiscate those skewers. You must go through a lot of skewers.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Because you can't take them through.
Fortunately, there's a skewer store over in the farmer's market.
There isn't.
It sells exclusively skewers.
Okay.
But there's different kinds. There's different shapes. There's different handles.
You're referencing a future podcast.
No, it's a unique story. Do you know on Montana Avenue in Brentwood, California, which is, you know, it puts the hoity and hoity-toity.
Yeah, it's O.J. Simpson's old neighborhood.
Yeah, but there's not, that was a fluke.
Okay.
But anyways, it's his old neighborhood. But anyways, so it's the rich part.
Andrew Breitbart lived there.
Who's Andrew Breitbart?
I don't mind.
Did he own a Breitbart thing that...
He started that whole Breitbart thing that Steve Bannon came out of. Yeah, he was that guy.
Yeah, that's
he died.
Another...
He died? In Brentwood, yeah.
He died in Brentwood?
Yeah.
Really?
A lot of people die in Brentwood, Paula.
Yeah, that's why I try to stay out of there.
Yeah.
All right, so it's this rich, fancy area, and they have, like, kind of boutique-y shops. That is the one thing I do like about it, is it doesn't have all the same stores as everywhere else.
Okay.
But it has rich, boutique-y shops, and one time I walked into another store. Most of the stores don't stay there for very long because the rents are too high, and it's really hard to make a living there.
Yeah, and all they're doing is selling, like, you know, one thing in the store. So
Right. A lot of space, and, like, there's one dress this week.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, get permission to try it on. But anyways.
I can't have that permission. I live in the Valley, so it's just like immediately I'm escorted out of the store.
No, you could try on the dress.
I could?
Yeah.
I'll say yes.
Yeah. So anyways, I was walking
on
that
street
one time.
Yes, let's return to the story because this is going somewhere.
And there was I'm not making this up. This is a true story. I swear to you.
So far it's very plausible because at this point you're just.
Napkin store.
What?
There was a napkin store.
That just sold napkins?
Maybe it was a placemat store. I think it was a placemat store.
That's a way better store than a napkin store.
It was a placemat store, and I asked them if they had napkins. And they practically shooed me out of the store. They're like, no, it's a placemat store. They sold only placemats.
Wow.
Now, I know, like you know, some companies get in trouble when they diversify too much. Uh-huh. Like, they sort of lose track of who they are and what they do.
Oh, absolutely. And we've talked about that relating to just about every food product and flavors on
right,
this show
exactly.
before.
But when,
who needs candy cane Doritos?
Well, precisely. But you can go the other way, which is to have a...
Too specialized.
A placemat store. It's yeah. just too... You know, you don't... It's not the sort of thing you replace every day.
Yeah, there's not a single part of me that can figure out how we got to placemat store in our year-end review.
This
right
is
here.
One of the things that happened in the past.
But not
I
this
forget.
Year.
Oh, no, because we're talking about skewers. That's
oh,
how.
Skewers.
I'm trying to think what else might have happened.
I'm looking at
year.
One of my regrets for the year is that I did not cut off that story earlier.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some, too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got And I got the 100% European linen shirt. And it looks breezy. And it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece. Or starting at $30 at Quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and a 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is... Whoa! Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Okay.
That's one of your regrets? That reminds me of my mother when you say that.
Oh, really?
My mother who had, I mean, long before I was born, you know, she had a few marriages and,
A few?
Yeah, a couple few.
Okay.
And it was long before I was born. I'm not suggesting that.
You didn't break up the marriage.
Not to the best of my knowledge. You know, she had some challenges in her life. She had some challenges in.
I'm feeling bad for her
in her life.
Sure.
And she said to me one time when I was, I think, in high school. She said the biggest mistake, or maybe she said it to someone else, and I was standing there. The biggest mistake she ever made in her life was not sending me to charm school.
Well, that's horrifying.
I just think, okay, the biggest mistake? I can see feeling that it was a mistake.
That it was it was in maybe your top 20, but the biggest mistake?
Yeah, but also, charm school? Were you raised in the 1930s?
No, but we had Jordan Marsh Charm School. Jordan Marsh was a department store, a clothing store. And we had Jordan Marsh Charm School was in Framingham. Oh,
and when her biggest regret was not sending you.
Yeah,
there.
That I didn't go to Jordan Marsh Charm School.
You sucked at charm school.
Yeah. I might not have done well at charm school, never know. Yeah, I might have been better socially as a result of
I think you're perfectly fine socially. Like, I don't think your mom saying that, which is like a weird, random, and totally... you know, not nice thing to say around your daughter.
I don't think she saw it that way.
No, but I'm saying...
I think she was saying that she had let me down.
Oh, I see. No, yeah. I don't think that really compares to me just wishing I'd never heard the placemat store story.
Well, it's not on par with it.
No, it isn't.
It did just remind me of
but
it.
But it did. We did
digress
to it.
That's how my brain works.
You don't have to tell me,
if it works at all, that's the way it works. You know, speaking of working...
Yes?
I would like to make a balloon animal... to represent 2018. You know, you can make the numbers. You can make the numbers of 2018.
I know that it is possible that a talented balloon animal person could, but
yeah,
I don't think
you
can make the numbers.
I certainly can. Hold on.
I mean, and for our listeners who've been following this progression, Paula actually can make balloon stuff now. Now, I'm not saying she makes coherent animals and stuff, but she can, like, twist the balloons into various shapes. But I think numbers, with the exception possibly of 1 and 0, are probably beyond you.
I'm gonna make the whole number 2018 out of this
out of one balloon.
One balloon. That is correct.
You know what you benefit from?
Yes.
The fact that we're an audio-only podcast. You draw enormous benefit from that.
I'm sort of to balloon animals what Edgar Bergen was to ventriloquism.
Yes. Yes, legendary ventriloquist Edgar Bergen, for some reason, had a radio career.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. That was something I did in 2018, by the way.
Ventriloquism?
No. On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, when we were at Carnegie Hall.
That gig that you said that you didn't have. We commiserated over that, and then you snuck off to New York and performed for the hoity-toity New York crowd.
It was fantastic. Candace Bergen.
Candace Bergen was there.
Was
TV's Murphy Brown.
Not my job guest. And I actually, I not only chatted with her and had a wonderful time talking to her, but I got a hug from Candace Bergen.
In 2018.
A 2018 hug from Candace Bergen.
I did not get a hug from Candace Bergen.
Which was not as powerful as her 2017 hugs.
Really? Is she kind of like
she was really squeezing him in 2017. Yeah,
not,
by 2018, it was more kind of a hand on her shoulder.
All right.
No, she was great.
Is she doing well?
I used to
watch Murphy Brown back in the day. I kind of had a crush on Candace Bergen.
Oh,
did you? Oh, yeah.
She's cute. Yeah,
well, she's
for
cute.
Sure.
Super cute. You want to hear some events that happened in 2018? I can review some for you.
Yeah, tell me.
If you feel like commenting on any of these, Ken Lezebnik has drawn up a little list of some. Just to jog our memories about what a great year it was. There were 300 mass shootings in America.
There you go.
That's not good.
No.
70 civilians died in a sarin poison gas attack in Syria.
Yeah.
President Trump announced the United States was withdrawing from the Iran nuclear agreement.
Boy, I hope Ken doesn't drink.
I hope he does, actually. Heat wave killed 33 people in Quebec.
Wow.
The world.
That's got to be a thing.
Yeah, it's got to. Yeah, exactly.
Quebec, you know, I don't think they have a lot of heat waves in Quebec, do they?
Explaining freak accidents is you know, that's tough on the family.
Yeah.
Because people always then end up more interested in the circumstances of the death than the fact that you've lost a loved one. You know, so you ask a Quebec guy, you know, what happened to your dad? And he's like, we lost him in the heat wave of 2018. And then all of a sudden,
people start talking about the heat wave.
Heat wave in Quebec? What are you talking about? I'd really rather talk about my father. No. Tell me about this heat wave.
But if somebody said that to you, what are you going to say? Like, oh, so your dad's dead, huh?
Yeah.
Dead dad. Boy, he's not coming back, huh?
Well, I think there are other ways to remember people than that.
I think it's better maybe to focus on the weather. There are times where focusing on the weather is the right thing to do.
I believe there are better ways to remember people than just remarking on the fact that they're continually dead. But if that's the only way you see the conversation going, yes, by all means, bring up the weather.
Also
in 2018, the world's last male northern white rhinoceros died, making the subspecies functionally extinct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
And there is very little action these days on white rhino Tinder, I suppose.
There's a lot of white rhino females wandering around unsatisfied.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is number of white rhino lesbians has shot up.
You'd think, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to, probably some of them moved in together in 2018.
Yeah, something, yeah. Now they're allowing same-sex rhino marriage.
Oh, they weren't doing that before?
No, no. But now once the need is there, society caught up to nature.
I think we're going to bring those white rhinos back. I mean, we may never be able to bring back the dinosaurs, but, it seems like if you have the DNA handy, and I'm sure we took a sample before that rhino went away, I'm sure we'll be able to Jurassic Park those guys up.
You think that could just create them again?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
That's creepy.
We synthesize a fetus and put it in an elephant. Everything will be fine.
All right.
I'm
not volunteering to carry it.
That's why I was volunteering an elephant, because I think an elephant could probably handle that.
Yeah, my uterus is busy, busy, busy.
What is it doing?
I'm not anything. I'm not carrying a rhino.
I don't think anybody asked you.
I can't believe that I just said I'm not carrying a rhino, and you tried to question my excuse.
Well, I just thought your excuse was weird.
Lately now I have this feeling.
You're making a polite excuse where no excuse was necessary.
No, I just said my uterus was busy.
But that's like saying you died in the Quebec heat wave. Now I'm interested.
Yeah, exactly. No, the thing, I have this feeling, this is one of the things that came up for me in 2018.
What's that, Paula?
Is I just have this feeling like, what fucking more can I do, you know?
Right.
I've been working so hard
and trying to
take care of so many things for so many people.
Sure.
And now I got my beloved partner, Adam Felber, trying to force me into carrying a baby rhino.
I don't want you to carry a baby rhino.
The one guy that I thought would understand.
I promise you, Paula,
I didn't feel that I had the time or the capacity.
I don't think you could. I don't think you could carry her. I bet you're scared. I bet you're yellow.
Now you've got
Paula
it done.
Bounce done.
I'm not scared of anything.
Scared to carry a rhino. Scared to carry a rhino.
All right, I'll do it.
All right, here we go. No, but honestly, people, if you're out there and you're worried about stuff that happened in 2018, I firmly believe you can take worrying about the white rhino being gone forever off your list, because I think they'll be back and
look
probably
this,
will outlast us.
Look at all this stuff that Ken Lezebnik has assembled.
Has he shot himself in the head at this
honestly,
point?
Honestly, these are
it
horrible.
It goes on. The United States
things.
Announced it will withdraw from the UN Human Rights Council.
Boy, we cannot kick the likes of 2018 down the stairs fast enough.
No. The IPCC released its report on global warming, which warned that we were nearing the tipping point of catastrophe.
Yeah, they say if we don't radically change what we're doing by 2030, we are toast.
Yeah.
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 And I'm not sure what to do first, honestly.
I would seriously consider liking toast.
Yeah, I'm getting a big thing of butter.
You might as well get some butter. Here's another thing. The very deceptively cheerily named Campfire in Northern California resulted in 88 deaths.
Wow, that's terrible. Why did they call it the Campfire, by the way?
I don't know. Usually they name a fire after where it started.
Yeah.
Usually. So maybe it started at a sleepaway camp or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure that's
It's probably not right.
Yeah. I don't know, but it's certainly another layer of tragedy on 2018.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend who lost his house in one of the fires that happened up in Malibu.
My manager, Bonnie Burns, had to evacuate from her home in Thousand Oaks.
Well, she probably should have chosen a different last name. That's her fault.
Oh.
Now, on a...
Yeah, it wasn't so much that the house was in danger, but just the people were so gun shy of the word burns.
Absolutely,
that
absolutely.
They just came to her door and said, could you get out?
Yeah, exactly. And as you know, Bonnie has a bunch of habits that kind of rankle around here, like her constant crinkling of papers.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I guess, and it never struck me this way, in a way, you and I are both burns victims.
Oh. We are. And apparently, former Red Sox player Sparky Lyle was asked to leave the area as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he was.
Yeah, wow.
Lyle.
No, there's been a lot of...
The noted 80s band the Del Fuegos.
God, not allowed to be in the area any longer. And just by the way, for people who have suffered from all these awful things... It sounds stupid to say, like, our thoughts are with you. But you know what? My thoughts often are with you. It is a sucky year, 2018.
Absolutely. Ken Lezebnik included one piece of good news
on this
list.
Oh, thank goodness!
The Balangiga bells, which were taken by the U.S. Army from Eastern Samar in 1901 as war trophies during the Philippine-American War,
sure,
were returned to the Philippines.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks, Ken.
Whoa, boy.
Wow.
This is like a
70s. I'm
going to
take the muzzle out of my mouth now.
Yeah, that's like a 70s sitcom where, like, in the end, or, you know, Leave it to Beaver, where they had some struggles for 22 minutes, but in the last scene, everything wrapped up pretty good. So the Balangiga bells.
Yeah,
and
also another shitty thing that happened in 2018 is now we've probably pissed off some Filipinos with our terrible pronunciation.
Oh, Balangiga? No, that's the right way you say it. I have a cat named
Balangiga?
I have a cat named Balangiga.
You don't.
No, but if I give birth to that rhino, that's what I'm naming it.
Yeah, it's a great name for a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Balangiga. Come, Balangiga.
Yeah.
Put that horn down.
You're not going to birth a rhino. I don't think you can. You can't tell a rhino to put a horn down.
Yeah. No, lower your horn. Turn that horn away.
Oh, lower your horn. That makes sense. Yeah, I would discipline
a rhino. There was a guy years ago. This wasn't 2018. It might have been 2017, though. There was a guy that had a pet hippo. Did you ever see that?
No.
I forget. I don't know if he lived on an island somewhere.
Was it a hungry hippo?
No, but he had a pet hippo. Mm-hmm. And he had, you know, he had video of him hanging out with the hippo, and they were very close. And then one day, I don't know, something maybe irked the hippo.
Yeah.
And he just grabbed the guy and drove him into the water and drowned him.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did this happen?
This is why I'm really going to be careful with my parenting techniques when I get my rhino.
I feel like rhinos are more dangerous than hippos. Don't they kind of famously have a temper?
Well, they also have a big old horn that they can gore you with, whereas hippos.
Yeah.
Hippos are just a lot of weight. Did you know that hippos have to be in water to have sex?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, because they're so large.
Yeah,
it's the only way they can make their move.
And what is their move?
Well, I can't do it here.
Right, okay.
It's huge.
So you're saying it's a huge move. Like you're saying that they'd be too large to position themselves correctly on land.
Yeah.
So they do it in the water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a fun little trivia fact, Paula.
A little something I happen to know.
Yeah.
I got about two things that I know, and that's one of them.
Well, save the next one for 2019, because it could suck, too.
No, 2019 is going to be great.
I feel like we're gonna get some comeuppance in 2019.
Well, I'm going to be, you know, I hate to be a person who's like into, you know, punishment.
Right.
But I really am anxious to see the people that have engaged with in fact, I've taken to actually go, I write things on Twitter because I know Vlad is seeing them.
Vlad Putin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
We avoid generally being very political on this show. It's
I'm
just
not being political. But just being a human being.
Yeah, I hear
they are nosing into our, they've done a lot more than we realized they had done. They've really manipulated people. They've taken people from both sides. You know what's interesting?
She knows too much, Gutteroff.
You know, what's really interesting is that in this type of warfare, some people call it cyber warfare, but in this type of warfare where they have, I saw a statistic on CNN the other day about how many, you know, social networking things they've done, how many
that was a recently released report.
Crazy amounts of numbers,
they got super involved in our
influencing American thought. And so in this type of warfare, the irony, because one of the things they did was they chose the organizations that they felt were like the most extreme, you know,
right.
For example, even though I don't see Black Lives Matter as extreme, apparently the Russians did.
Sure they
did. They chose, you know, the most conservative and the most liberal organizations, and they would post things.
Goad them.
You know, exactly, trying to get Americans against Americans. So the irony of all this is that in order to defend ourselves against this type of warfare, the number one weapon that it will require is love.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I think it's Americans loving one another and caring about one another will be our strongest defense towards Russians trying to turn us on one another.
I think that is a very, very hopeful and possibly true thing.
What do you mean possibly true, asshole?
That's the Russians talking, Paula. I know that. I think one thing I've noticed about all this hate that just rockets around on TV and on the internet is that it almost never happens in real life. I mean, yes, there are demonstrations and demonstrators, you know, counter-demonstrate at each other. But in ordinary circumstances, at the mall, at the Thanksgiving party, you know, wherever you go, we're not screaming at each other the way we do on the internet.
Well, I'm fortunate enough to be not on the receiving end of a good deal of prejudice myself, but I certainly know people that are.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm
talking about just the knee-jerk angry hatred because you believe something I don't believe.
Yeah.
That seems to me to be a Twitter, Facebook, news TV phenomenon.
Well, it's
phenomenon.
Like yelling out of your car at
exactly.
people. There's a certain amount of anonymity, which is what... So the Russians are probably going to take it a step further, which is they're probably going to drive around in little cars yelling things, pretending that it wasn't the Russians.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what they did. I mean, basically,
hey,
it is
out of my way, homeboy.
Yeah.
I flip my finger at you.
It's my middle finger.
Because this is how we do it in Iowa.
Is my middle finger.
His middle finger. Yeah. You know, one thing I did enjoy doing in 2019?
What?
In 2018.
And 2018.
I'll enjoy doing...
Boy, you were time traveling there for a minute.
Oh, yeah. Here I am, back from 2021.
Zipping
Guess
through.
What? We were wrong. The world's gone now. I enjoyed watching Unbreakable with you.
I enjoyed watching Unbreakable with you.
And as a public service to our listeners, as a lot of us know, when a sequel to a film is coming out, we watch the original and let you know if you should bother seeing the sequel. And it's a segment we call, because we're so good at titling things, Movie Reviews to Save You the Trouble of Seeing the Sequel.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega. A comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I... Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here it go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paul, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven yep. science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily wherever you cast your pod.
There you go. Fuck.
Oh, Jorge Reyes, thank you so much. So the movie Glass opens up in theaters this month, and it's a sequel to two movies by M. Night Shyamalan.
How do you say that name?
M. Night Shyamalan.
I just hear Shyamalama ding dong.
Everybody does. It's probably why he decided to become a horror director. Psychological suspense, usually. This movie, Glass, is the sequel to Unbreakable and Split. And two movies made about, I think, 15 to 20 years apart. And you only find out, because he's Mr. Surprise Ending, I'm told that you only find out at the end of Split that that Split is connected to Unbreakable.
No.
Yes. That spoiler alert, you find out that they're connected. A character comes back. And now this new movie that's coming out, Glass, unites the villains of those two movies in its own feature film. So, with that in mind, Paula and I watched the 2000 movie Unbreakable, starring Bruce Willis and
Samuel L. Jackson.
What does the L stand for?
La 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 la.
Yeah. It also had Robin Wright, who was still billing herself as Robin Wright Penn at that point. I believe
She
was Bruce Willis's wife. You saw quite a bit of her.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, should we explain? All right, Bruce Willis.
Well, yeah, it was M. Night Shyamalan came on the scene in the late 90s with The Sixth Sense, and it quickly became known as the master of the surprise ending and suspense and stuff like that. And this was his second or third film, I believe. And it was actually really well received. Critics kind of dug it. People dug it. It was before he spent the next 10 years making absolute crap. Just like really terrible movies. Movies that are fun to watch because they're so bad.
I never saw any of those movies. This is my first
M. Night
Shyamalama Ding Dong movie I ever saw.
Right.
And I'll tell you what happens. In the beginning of the movie, there's a baby born that has...
born with broken arms and broken legs.
Yeah, right off the bat. Yeah. He's got some challenges.
An African-American baby is born.
Right, right off the bat with some challenges. And
then we rocket into the future. We rocket like 40 years forward.
I don't think it's 40 years forward, but...
At least 30.
Maybe 30 years forward.
Okay.
Okay, and then we meet this Bruce Willis character, and Bruce Willis is... we find out right away that he's a married man, and he's in a terrible, terrible, terrible train wreck.
A catastrophic train wreck that not only injures but kills everybody on the train.
It's something that could have happened in 2018.
Yes.
That's how horrible it was.
Yes, it was like oppression almost.
Yeah. In fact, when it happened in the movie, I was like, oh, that.
Yeah.
In fact, I was like,
one guy survived. That's a cakewalk.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I was already, my skin was toughened to that kind of disaster.
But Bruce Willis is completely unharmed, not even a scratch.
Right. So as the movie progresses forward, Bruce Willis begins to recognize, and his son has sort of known about this for a while. He has like a 10-year-old son.
He begins
son,
to recognize that he is basically unbreakable.
He never gets sick, never gets hurt. Except for in one incident in school when he was a little boy with water.
He almost drowned at the bottom
of
the
pool. So it turns out that, let's see.
And then enter Samuel L. Jackson, who is that boy with the broken arms and broken legs. It turns out he's on the complete other end of the spectrum from Bruce Willis. He's easy to break. You can break him easy.
And from the time he was a little boy, he fell in love with comic books.
Yes.
And he's a comic book expert. He has a gallery. He's sort of a professor of
comicology.
Bookery.
Yes.
And he has lives sort of a rich, fancy gallery kind of a life. And he has a theory
that Bruce Willis is in fact
a superhero.
Yeah, exactly.
So eventually he convinces Bruce Willis he's a superhero. And when Bruce Willis is testing the theory that he might be a superhero, he goes into his basement and he's working out and his son is helping him and he's lifting weights.
Yeah.
And he asks the son to add some weights to it. And without telling his father, the son like tricks him and puts like all the weights there. You know, he puts like 300 pounds on the thing, and Bruce Willis says,
benches,
you know,
it easily. Yeah,
he says, you know, don't do that because that could hurt somebody. And when that happened, I thought of my own children, you know, because I do take Taekwondo.
Yes,
and
I feel like you're definitely breakable, though.
No, no,
no.
No.
Okay.
I can. You haven't seen my kicks.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know my. So the kid keeps making things harder and
it
harder.
It turns out that Bruce Willis probably is some sort of super being. Yes.
But what I related to was the fact that his son was devilishly making the weightlift harder and harder for his father, and my children have just made things harder and harder for me.
Okay. That's an interesting thing to relate to. Yeah.
For me, it's like emotional weightlifting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. Okay.
Like this year alone, I've emotionally bench pressed over 400 pounds.
You know, I know that you have been through a lot with a kid or two this year.
Yeah. It's been a lot of weightlifting. So emotional weightlifting. So all right. So then one thing that's important to note here is that Samuel L. Jackson, he plays a character, what was his name, Elijah maybe?
Elijah, yeah.
He's got these great, beautiful jackets. Like, his wardrobe is fantastic.
And you find out why at the end. I don't mind. By the way, should we just say that we're going to spoil the ending in the course of this podcast? Because it's been 18 years, and if you haven't seen it, you're not going to fucking see this movie.
Well, people were about to see it.
Well, then stop the tape now and continue with our next episode in 2019.
Well, okay, but no, what I was going to say about Samuel Jackson is, he has this great wardrobe, but he has the worst hair. His hair is just badly done.
It's,
and when we were watching the credits.
Different.
No, it was bad.
Okay.
We were watching the credits.
Different.
No, it's bad. When we were watching the credits, there was a hairstylist that was exclusively for, it wasn't the hairstylist for the whole film.
No, it was just Mr. Jackson's hairstylist.
It was the hairstylist for Mr. Jackson, exclusively for Samuel L. Jackson.
Right.
And the hairstylist's name was Robert Louis Stevenson. So apparently,
this is true.
After you write Treasure Island and Kidnapped, it just sucks the life out of you, and you can barely do hair at all after that.
Well, it's not my takeaway from the movie, but you know, we all got different things out of it, clearly.
You know, one thing I thought was really weird in the movie, well, a couple things that I always dislike, which is the relationship between Bruce Willis and his wife was estranged at the beginning of the movie.
They were estranged. He was actually looking for a job in another town. They were on the brink of a divorce.
They were living in the same house, but they weren't, you know.
They weren't even in the same bedroom.
They didn't share a bedroom anymore.
Yeah, they had a son, though. They had a son, so it's kind of important that they, you know, tried to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah, but what I thought was weird, they never really established what was wrong. There's just this sort
of did.
No, they didn't.
There
was just
did.
This. There was just this sort of weird unhappiness. It was a movie that did a lot of weird unhappiness.
Yes, and it was a moody movie. Not a ton happens. You know, basically within a few minutes of the movie starting, Samuel L. Jackson is trying to convince Bruce Willis that he might be a superhero.
Yeah,
And
Bruce Willis,
about 2 hours later, Bruce Willis is like, yeah, maybe I am.
Bruce Willis gets away with a lot of just kind of oddly unhappy looks. Like a little
goofy,
bit like...
Goofy unhappy looks.
What was the... remember there was a...
I want to go back to the husband and wife relationship.
Wait
a minute.
There was a pop culture thing years ago. Remember the sad-eyed girls? That was this sort of cartoonish illustration. What were they called?
Bill Keane. The
Bill Keane
Charles
is Family Keane's. Circle.
Family Circus.
But
I believe Bonnie, who's yelling Keen over and over again, is right. I believe it was Charles. It was somebody Keen.
But there was a sort of they had giant-eyed children. Yes, giant-eyed children.
Yeah.
This is Bruce Willis. Sort of is that?
Except his eyes are mere reptilian slits.
Well, perhaps, but he just did. So you know, what he looked like. Here's the face he had. He had the face of Michael Cohen.
What?
Michael Cohen has this puppy.
Former Donald Trump attorney turned
fixer,
rat, Michael
right.
Cohen.
Yeah, he's got this perpetually sad face now. Okay.
Oh, you know what?
Scene,
I see that.
There's a scene where the kid wants to prove that his father is this superhero. And so in order to do it, he gets his father's gun, brings it down to the kitchen, and holds. He's going to shoot his dad. His father. And his father finally convinces him to put the gun down. And the kid, you know, sort of hovers in the corner and cries for a little while. And in the very next scene, the very next day, the father and mother are going out to dinner and leaving the kid at home with a teenage babysitter. Which, let me just say, I don't think I'm a great parent, but when your kid has pulled a gun on you, you probably don't leave him with a sitter the following night.
Okay, I'm gonna.
You're gonna argue with that?
I'm gonna say a couple things here.
You're gonna argue with that?
I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah,
I do not think That it was the very next night?
It was the very next night, okay. Because they say something about it at one point. And the kid goes, nah, I'm okay.
Oh, that's right.
He says, I just got a little upset. And they go, well, we won't have dinner then. We'll just go for drinks.
Oh, you're right. That
was how they decided to deal with the fact that their son had pulled a gun on his father.
Yeah.
They said, you know what? We're a little worried about you, honey, so we're not going to have a whole dinner. Yeah. We're just going to go for drinks.
And leave you with a girl who seemed to be about 14.
Yeah, like a teenage babysitter. Yeah.
You make a good point there.
Yeah, I think that.
I want to go back to what you said that wasn't true, which is that they never dealt with what was wrong with the relationship with Bruce Willis and Robin.
No,
Wright.
They didn't.
They absolutely
didn't. No, there were a lot of mournful, sad looks.
Part of the plot of the movie
no,
is what's wrong.
There were mournful, sad looks and no real explanation.
Okay, you want me to explain it?
Go ahead.
Okay, so as you know, we quickly learned that Bruce Willis was a very, very good football player.
He was a good football player.
And he got in a car accident that we are told rendered him unable to play football.
Yeah, but it turns out he faked it.
He faked it so that he could be with her.
Right.
And never played football, pretended to have a
she
disability.
She didn't like football.
She didn't like football, and he chose
she
between
right,
her and football,
way,
and he chose her.
Awful.
But as a result, as we learn, he says several times that he never felt like he was doing what he should be doing.
Yeah.
And so,
it's a little bit like 17 again. Like he's blaming
what?
The wife. It's a little bit like 17 again.
Yeah.
Where Matthew Perry blames his wife because he didn't become a famous basketball player because he fell in love with her.
I guess it's a little like that, but what I'm saying is that the movie,
it's very much
whether
like
or
that.
Not you agree
it
with
has,
it.
It has, and it's a little bit, and I know I'm out on a limb here.
Okay.
It's a little bit like The Love Bug.
Herbie the Love Bug.
Yeah.
The original or the one with...
No, the original.
Oh,
I don't believe in remakes.
Okay.
Yeah, the original. I'm talking the Buddy Hackett.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because,
I've seen that movie.
Yeah, because they're in a car wreck and the whole car flips. The difference is that in the car
everything
wreck,
else.
Well, no, the difference is...
The difference is everything else, Paula Poundstone.
No,
there is no fucking similarity between Herbie the Love Bug and Unbreakable.
No, the difference is that when Sean Penn's wife and Bruce Willis
Sean Penn's wife.
Car wreck...
You become a caveman?
Their car
Sean Penn's wife.
Not animated and can't talk or act on its own. And that's why she got hurt. But that's
the only difference, really, between
Love Bug and Unbreakable. Is that the name of this film?
Unbreakable, yes.
Unbreakable.
It's more or less the same movie. Otherwise. No, but what I'm saying, if the listeners are out there and they're tempted to
believe,
still, and I don't know why you would be.
I'm pretty sure we lost
the ball
them
is starting
at
to drop at
88
this point.
Deaths in the Northern California
I know,
fire.
This has been just a bummer of an episode. Don't you people have anything better to do on New Year's Eve than listen to me
honest
and Paula?
To God.
Talk about how awful everything is and listen to how Paula believes that the movie Unbreakable is essentially a remake of Herbie the Love Bug?
I didn't say it was a remake. I said there's a lot. It's got a lot in common.
And it does not.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all this said, you and I both had a very good time watching this movie.
I enjoyed watching this movie.
It was good, right?
Yeah. Okay. Listeners, this is important that you understand this, which is that when I say that I enjoyed watching Unbreakable, I always enjoy being with Adam and his wife, Jimmy, and his
lovely
children.
Time. Yeah.
It's lovely. It's cold. His television is outside.
Well, we have one
in fact,
inside.
I'm not even sure he has a house.
Wait, dude, you walk through it to get to my TV.
Yeah, we're in the alley. There's got a television. You've got an extension cord that goes into somebody else's place.
It's actually not. It's a very nice.
It's cold. You should see how bundled up I am to
watch
a movie.
You do bundle up quite a bit.
I have to bundle up.
Yeah.
I have to wear my like dog racing jacket and a fluffy cat blanket.
We do live in Southern California.
No, it's unbelievably cold.
Yes, I refrigerate my back yard.
No, part of the reason sometimes I don't always understand the movie is because of the shushing sound of the skiers going by beside me.
That's not even close to being
true. At the base
true.
Of the mountain where I watch movies with Adam.
I'll
no, what
fire
I started
up the
to say,
jacuzzi.
When I said that I did enjoy watching this movie, and part of it is because I enjoy being with Adam.
Yes.
But part of it is against the backdrop of the shitty movies that Adam has made me watch.
Oh, wow. We're going to do this again.
Yeah. It just has to be said.
Yeah.
I'm, a lot of these things are getting judged on a curve at this point.
Okay.
You know.
right, I want to point out couple of things about the movies I'm making you watch.
No, Adam has some of the worst taste in film of anyone I've ever... Here's one thing.
Okay.
So he says to his son...
I'm going to take you to the mat on this one, Poundstone.
So he says to his son last night, who's, what, 10, right?
10. He's 10. He's about to
turn 11. He says, yeah, honey, you might like this film. Adam had seen Unbreakable before. Yeah. He goes, honey, you might like this film. Maybe you should watch it with us. And at first I thought, oh, you know, it's kind of a cartoony movie. And you get, or comic booky movie. You get towards the end, there is a god-awful scene with very real... like violence with a household that have been tied up.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what on earth would make you invite your 10-year-old son? I mean, fortunately, his son did not come watch the movie.
Well, a couple of things
us.
In my defense. He knew he wasn't coming out. That was already
what do you
established.
Mean he knew he wasn't coming out.
He said he didn't want to watch it. And, but no. Here's the thing.
Yeah, because it would scare the shit out of him.
I wouldn't have let him come to watch the last half hour of the movie. Because, by the way, I mentioned casually more than an hour into the movie. It just seemed like a nice thing that would sound a little inclusive. I would not have shown my kid.
Oh, so you were inviting him to watch, but if he'd actually gotten up and come to watch with us, you would
have been
said,
like, you know what?
Out.
Maybe we should just watch it from the beginning sometime soon. Yeah. I just wanted to feel a little included. He was alone on the couch all night.
Oh. He was watching his thing, and he had his mother with him and his sister. He was
not
alone. So Adam's solution, his
but
parenting
wait, I want to go back
solution,
to this canard, to
his son spending a few minutes alone is, honey, come watch this slasher film with daddy.
My son, honey. And it's not a slasher film.
Son, come watch this slasher film with daddy.
I said you might
daddy.
Enjoy this movie. I didn't even say come on out and watch it.
All right. Anyways,
anyway,
has
I want to go back to you and
worst
my taste,
taste
in movies,
movies
and all that
of anyone I've ever met in my life.
I am not showing you my favorite films in my backyard. I want to remind you, and this might surprise you, that we do a podcast.
Yeah.
It's recorded and people listen to us.
We are casting a pod right now.
Right.
Baby.
We're casting a pod right now, and we have a segment wherein sequels to movies appear in the movie theater, and we watch the originals.
Right, but some
at
of these
home.
Films, you've seen all the movies that we've watched. You had seen before, is that correct?
I believe that's true.
And every single one of them, you're like, "Oh, there's a great movie."
That's not true.
You liked Predator, the one
I liked
the,
Predator
with the monster that had teeth in
I
his
liked
mouth,
Predator.
And his
it's
mouth
not my
looked
favorite
like a vagina.
Movie, but I liked Predator.
That was a horrible movie.
You didn't. All right,
it was a horrible movie.
The only movie that I know, the only movies that I know of that you like are White Christmas and Mary Poppins, and White Christmas is a pile of shit.
Oh,
I watched it for the
God.
First time in 2018, and for me, it might be the third worst thing that happened in 2018, right
you know,
after
I mean,
the
mass shootings and President Trump announced the United States withdrawing from the Iran nuclear
and then
agreement,
White Christmas and then White Rhinos. That's where I stand on 2018. Because that movie, I mean, honestly, Paula Poundstone.
Mm-hmm. Boy, see what I mean?
And you were the one who suggested we watch Rocky.
Well, Rocky was one of the better ones of the ones that we watched.
I guess.
Anyway, but I am hoping that 2019 brings us movies that are coming out that have... much better original movies.
But we're still going to be doing this stupid segment where we about
this
sequels.
Is my point.
Yeah.
The sequels to movies that the originals were better.
Oh, so you'd like to see sequels to movies wherein the original was better. Like what? We could have watched Mary Poppins.
No, we review. Yeah, but I didn't want to because I don't want anything bad ever said about Mary Poppins.
Oh, and I would. You know me.
Oh, Jesus. You know what? You have no floor.
There's what do you mean I have no floor?
There's no basement there. It just keeps going.
Oh, wow.
You're like the Mars InSight.
What are you talking about?
That's the spaceship that landed on Mars, and it's just digging down. Oh, Adam, did I tell you what they found?
What?
It landed in the end of November. You know the Mars InSight.
The Mars InSight probe, yeah.
And it's digging.
It doesn't roll. It digs.
It's right. It's not going around.
It's not a roller.
It's
not a rover. It's
down.
A digger. Yeah.
They found nougat.
They didn't find nougat. Oh, there's another infuriating argument I've been having with you since a good portion of 2018, is that Paula doesn't know what nougat is and insists that it is inside a Butterfinger bar, which it isn't.
Nougat is what makes up the center of Mars.
Okay. I don't even think there's nougat in a Mars bar.
No, there's nougat inside Mars.
Okay.
I know. I have a friend who worked on the project.
You don't. Now you're just lying to me.
No,
there's
nougat.
Let's wrap this.
And three different flavors of ice cream.
Before we digress again, let's wrap this segment in a bow.
Let's do it.
Because what we do is
at the end of our discussion, which I'm feeling like we're at, we tell our listeners whether or not it's based on the prequel, whether it's worth it to see the sequel. So, Paula, should our audience shell out their $15 or whatever to go see Glass, the sequel to Unbreakable?
Well, I mean, you did tell me that Shyamalama Ding Dong hasn't been making good films recently.
But apparently the film Split, which was made only about a year ago, which is also...
So he's back. He's got all four wheels down to the ground now. For a while, he was riding on three. But now, well, I don't know. It could be. Okay, here's what I would say.
Okay.
Don't watch it for the hair.
I think I'm going to take that as an answer. I'm going to say... Yeah, if you liked Unbreakable and you liked Split, I would see Split before I saw. And you know, I'd rent Split before I saw Glass. But yeah, go ahead and see Glass because you're gonna have Samuel L. Jackson in at the very least, and he's always entertaining.
Yeah, we enjoyed him very much.
We did, and that is movies. That is movie reviews to save you the trouble of seeing the sequel, everybody. Oh, thank you, beloved house band Jorge Reyes here at Ray Horseman Studios. Paula, you've pointed out that the key to happiness is low expectations. With that in mind, we asked our listeners, what is the least you expect from 2019? You want to hear some of their responses?
Yes.
All right, read some.
What is the least you expect from 2019? D. Fortin wrote that my frosted midi wheats will finally be sold in a resealable bag like my bacon is.
Wow.
See, now I think D is going to find happiness in 2019.
Yeah, especially since D could just break out a Ziploc bag if she feels like her mini wheats need to be that fresh. I got to be honest with you. What would a fresh mini wheat taste like? It's like one of the crunchiest cereals around.
No, but
you pour milk in it. Yeah, but like, do you find that your mini wheats are less satisfying after they've been sitting around in a non-sealed bag for a week or so?
No, but the point is, D does.
Oh, look,
I'm with you, D. I'm with you. I'm an atheist, so I'm not praying. But you're in my thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Laura Jo Powledge writes...
Oh, my gosh. What a great name.
It is.
Laura Jo Powledge.
She wants to survive 2019 without knowing how to survive a bear attack.
Oh.
That's the least she can expect.
Yeah, which echoed Beth Johnson's note that Thomas Coyne will never be found in the Ray Horseman studio. Boy, that's a little bleak, Beth.
Well, I think what Beth is saying, and I'm just trying to put the nice, cheery New Year's spin on it, is that... Thomas Coyne, the survivalist who was going to teach us how to survive a bear attack way back in the fourth episode we ever did in this little dandy podcast, who stood us up.
Yeah.
We've never found him.
Nope. Didn't show up.
2018 has passed and Thomas Coyne didn't show up and we've launched a search for him. We've got a map that Tony Anita Hull created that's on the internets now where people are marking where they haven't found him.
We're asking people to keep their eye out for Thomas Coyne.
Yeah.
And let us know. Where you haven't seen him.
Yes, and I think as we've reviewed many times this year, I questioned that as a search method.
It's a manhunt. It's a net. We've put a dragnet over the nation and the world, Adam.
Yeah.
And I think we're gonna have a breakthrough.
I believe there's zero chance. The only chance is that someday somebody will meet Thomas Coyne and say, oh, you're the guy they talk about all the time on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. I think that's the only way we're ever going to find Thomas Coyne.
No, I think we'll find him. Somebody told me that they checked at Disneyland a couple nights ago and he wasn't there. But then I wrote back to them and said, "Did you check Small World?"
What'd they say?
I haven't heard back from them yet. I think they realized their error.
Well, I think there's many errors there, which is that I wouldn't be able to find anybody in Disneyland.
Oh, we found Thomas once.
Oh, you did?
My son.
Yeah. Well, you know what he looks like.
We lost him briefly, and a guard brought him over to me. A security guard found him.
Oh, yeah.
And he brought him over to me, and he took a sticker, and he put the sticker on Thomas's back.
Oh, yeah?
And he said, write your phone number on that sticker. And I wrote my number, and my daughter Allie said, Mom, that's not our number.
Wow.
And I realized I had accidentally written the wrong number to be called if my son was missing. It was a clever idea, though, actually.
But on the part of the guard, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To put a sticker on
it
your
It seemed
kid.
A little bit after the horse's escape kind of thing, because your son had already been lost and found.
I think the guard had the sense that it might happen
that
again.
That Thomas could get lost again on the same day in the same theme park?
Very possibly.
You think it could happen?
Very possibly. Now, one thing I've noticed here is that Tamara J. Hawk wrote...
Our beloved listener, Tamara J. Hawk. Happy New Year to you, Tamara. And to you, Beth, Laura, Joe, and Dee.
This is her low expectation for 2019, is for it to rain one day in Phoenix.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, it rains there.
Does it?
Yeah, I was there.
I've
one
never
time.
Been rained on in Phoenix.
It hailed when I was there. Big, huge
it
hailstones.
Did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's what she's wanting there.
No, but she wants rain.
Yeah.
I think it will.
That's not too much to ask.
I don't think it's
Ingrid Tolentino wrote, I expect to still be able to put my pants on one leg at a time and that I'll have two legs.
Boy, she is aiming low.
Yeah.
She is keeping those expectations down. Yeah. I would say that Ingrid, of all of these people, so far, Ingrid is going to have the most joyous year.
Yeah, she has won in many ways.
Yeah.
It would be a tragic year for her should she lose a leg or somehow lose the ability to put them on one leg at a time, which is arguably much easier than putting them on two legs at a time. I think that's what I don't want to nitpick here, Ingrid, except I deeply want to. The expression is that I put them on one leg at a time because that's how people do it.
Yeah.
It's harder to put them on two legs at a time. It involves jumping.
No, I do both.
You do? You jump into pants?
No, I lay on my back and put them on two legs at a time. But, you know.
Really?
I do want to say that if Ingrid happens to lose a leg, I have a bad feeling that Ken Lezebnik will write about it.
Oh, yeah.
In our 2019
New Year's script.
We have
to talk to him about
script,
that, because that was a downer.
Really?
Like, we didn't know the year sucked.
Nick Magray wrote that I'll have fewer mustards open at once in my fridge.
That's a very reasonable thing to ask for.
That's a common concern.
Yeah. You know why?
There is a mustard museum. Did you know that?
Is there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that fact is probably more interesting than the mustard museum must be.
I don't know. I haven't been into the mustard museum.
I can't imagine that have.
It's a dream I have for 2019.
Well, that's not too much to ask. You might get it. I totally understand where Nick's coming from there, because mustard is one of those things that they come in kind of small containers. You look around. You don't see it. So
yeah.
You pick them up at the store.
Yeah, and you just open another and another.
Yeah,
and another.
The worst.
Yeah, exactly. I've done the same thing with houses.
I've just
forgotten I had one.
Buy a new one.
Yeah, it's back behind the other house. I can't find it.
Pretty soon you own a neighborhood and you don't know where
exactly.
You keep your pants. Several people were completely existential. One, when responding to what is the least you expect from 2019, D. Walker wrote, darkness, then daylight, and darkness.
Wow, that's very Ingmar Bergman.
Yeah, it is. Darkness.
Along that vein, Inga Mueller-Boer. And by the way, imagine having the name Mueller and then hyphenating.
Yeah.
You know, you
and
gotta
instead
pick
of getting a lot of nice hard consonants, you get Boer.
Yeah. Inga, first of all, you gotta wonder what dating app you're using. But Inga, just pick a team. I don't think you hyphenate when you're Mueller Boer.
I think you're either a Mueller or a Boer.
Inga Mueller Boer wrote, for the sun to rise, if not every day, then at least on most days. She is really lowballing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just for the sun to rise, not even every day.
Yeah.
Not even asking for the sun to rise every day.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, we're probably finished, Inga.
Yeah, if it doesn't, you know what that means? It's 2030, and we didn't clean up our act.
Which we might not do. And I want to point out that a couple of people, including Mike Holland and Thomas Dean, wrote, the least that they can expect from 2019 is that Adam will be on every show.
Now that is a high expectation.
Why? You don't want, are you letting me go, Poundstone?
No. Happy to have you. Yeah. Just what a joyous thing.
I don't know how this became a thing this year with our podcast, but yeah, the listeners keep pointing out that I am on every show as though that is some kind of compliment.
You know, the guy who wrote the theme song, the original theme song that had the original reference to Adam being on every show.
Where he spent like a two verses praising your genius and then concluded with, and Adam Felber is on every show. That's where this all started.
Yeah. It was a great theme song.
Was it?
And he, I met him in Annapolis, Maryland, and I took a picture and I posted it on my Instagram. That's something that happened in 2018 as I learned to do Instagram.
Yeah, now, but now I have to see the guy who actually came up with this incredibly, what I'm going to call not particularly flattering meme. That the best you could say about me is that I'm on every show.
It's not the best he could say. It's just something he said.
It's the only thing he said about it. And it has since become basically the only thing that anybody who takes part in our theme song competition says about me.
That's not true.
But it is. We've listened to many theme songs here on the show. Yeah. And
There's one that we haven't played for everyone. Just said, Adam Felber wears a shirt.
Yeah.
And that is...
Now, see, now you're opening up a can of worms, because now our listeners are going to start making other bland observations about
me. It's not a bland observation.
It's a very bland observation, genius Poundstone.
Yeah. Adam Felber puts one foot in front of the other. And he wears a shirt.
I barely do. Now, you don't need a special prompt to write us. Send us comments or a theme song anytime at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com or visit us on Facebook at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. The final cat of the week for 2018 is Chi-Chi from Benton, Arkansas. Okay, alrighty. So if we do all make it safely into 2019, you might want to know that Maximum Fun has other offerings you might like. Here are a couple of other great podcasts to enjoy from your living room or your bunker.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks.
These are real podcast listeners, not actors. We took the identifying marks off this podcast. Just tell me your impressions.
It's really sexy.
My first thought is like Radiolab?
Definitely something popular. Yeah, really popular. A hit show.
But funny too. Like, does Tina Fey have a podcast?
Or the Marx Brothers?
Yeah, is this podcast Radiolab, but hosted by the Marx Brothers?
And sexy, like Sade? It reminds me of Sade.
Exactly. And they're all riding in a BMW.
Close, but not quite. Take a look behind these panels. And then watch this rocket blast off into space.
Whoa.
Ooh.
And there's the pies we made you.
Oh.
Now, let's show you the podcast.
Oh. Wow, it was Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Jordan, Jesse, Go?
Hold on.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness.
That was 514 J.D. Power & Associates Podcasting Awards.
That was really scary.
But compelling.
I guess I should definitely subscribe to Jordan Jesse Go.
Yeah. I'd say so.
Jordan Jesse Go, a real podcast.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, I'm Graham.
And we're two house DJs who have been trapped inside our drum machine.
We love it here, and we'd love if you stopped by and visited us every week on Stop Podcasting Yourself
here on MaximumFun.org.
We're just a couple of doofuses from Canada.
And listen to our show or perish. Stop Podcasting Yourself
on MaximumFun.org.
Thank you, house band Jorge Reyes. Paula, where are you off to perform in this new year?
I'll be in Houston, Texas on January 18th at the Wortham Theater Center and in Santa Barbara, California on January 25th at the Lobero Theater.
And if you want to see if Paula Poundstone is coming to a city near you, check out her website, www.paulapoundstone.com, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
And if you like T-shirts, and who doesn't?
We all do!
There are two options. Visit maxfunstore.com for a Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone T-shirt.
It's great!
Or go to paulapoundstone.com and discover the joy of my remarkably soft tri-poly blend shirts with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back.
And it's not a tri-poly blend.
It's a tri-poly blend.
It's really not. Now, Paula, do you have any resolutions for this new year? Because we're about to count down to one. The ball is about to drop. What do you want in 2019? Not the least you can expect from 2019. What would you really like to see besides the Von Trump family singers being sent off to the Huskow.
I can't believe you said that. You know what's weird is I haven't really thought about it.
Yeah.
I'm the only person who hasn't prepared a New Year's resolution.
I think you'll back me up on this. All I want from next year is less of this year.
Oh, less of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a god-awful year.
Yeah.
This may seem shallow.
No.
But I would love it if my tri-poly blend t-shirts
with
the self-portrait on the left breast and memorable quote on the back flew off the shelves.
Wow, that's your goal for 2019. Well,
yeah,
I asked you to shoot for the moon, and boy, did you ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah,
that's all I need.
Ooh, hang them high, Paula Poundstone. Yeah, hang them high.
That's all I need. And I also hope Trump's impeached.
I want to see this podcast continue and take off into the new year. I want to see us pick up 100,000 more listeners.
If every listener within the sound of my voice tells a friend about nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, then we could have 20 more listeners.
By
2019, we could have 20 more listeners before the ball drops.
Okay, and the ball is about to drop, and let's hope that does happen in 2019, but let's drink a cup of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne and Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Our show is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Jorge Reyes, on the sax. And thanks to our head of security, Jonah Glickman. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at transcribeme.com. And now, Paula, are you ready to count it down?
Yeah.
Let's do it. 10, 9,
8,
7,
6,
5,
4,
3,
2,
1.
Happy New Year! We made it!
Oh, my Lord. Happy New Year, Paula Poundstone.
Happy New Year, Adam.
This is like happening right on the stroke of actual midnight.
You know what? I don't even drink, and I'm crying and hugging everyone. Hey, that's our show for this year. Won't somebody please listen to me?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.